Morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you, 720 WGN. Our last night, or at least my last night, in the historic Tribune Tower in the Allstate Showcase Studio at 435 North Michigan Avenue in the Tribune Tower building. Roger Badish is over at 303 East Wacker, where we'll be broadcasting from next week, starting with Steve Cochran's show on Monday morning at 6 a.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
Roger, I don't need, so things are going haywire now. It's like one of those last nights in a building when they just start tearing crap out and nobody works anymore.
Yeah.
Last week there were no refrigerators here, so you couldn't keep anything cold. This week, I don't know how you're on the air right now. Normally there's a pot that you're on and I can pot it up, pot it down. You're just magically appearing now.
It's being magically done. I can, you've been over here, right?
Have not been there yet, no.
Okay, so You can see me on the camera. I'm spreading my arms out.
Yes.
And in front of me, as I'm looking forward, there is a huge three-panel window into the newsroom from the hallway. Directly across is a floor-to-ceiling window-encased master control with a lot of flashing lights and dials and computers and equipment, and that's where the magic is happening.
So they're controlling things really
better
than
they
I
are.
Tonight.
Yep.
All right, well, excellent. So for tonight, because it's Throwback Friday, apparently, Saturday, 591-7200. We're back to the old number for tonight.
Oh, really?
For some reason, yes. 302-591-7200 is the number. If you want to jump in, come along and be part of the show. We'd be happy to have you. Dr. Natalie Marks is here. We're going to talk about summer issues with our pets and other things going on in the world of pets. We're going to talk about the most crazy, backstabbing relationship thing I have ever heard of in my life. Somebody won a lawsuit over it.
Oh.
Yes. And I wonder if people out there have done really bad things to try and keep a relationship together. This is one of them that you just won't believe. 312-591-7200. If you want to jump in, we'll take a break. Be back with you on 720 WGN. Off to my city, off to my home. It's Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. When we in our zone, I got that. No sunshine on Michigan Avenue right now. The storm is just kicked up, Roger. I don't know if you see outside the windows.
I can. I see the rain.
Lightning is
spattering.
Yeah, lightning is kicking in, and the wind is really gusted up, and the rain is falling rather hard.
It is coming, as I mentioned before in the newscast, it's coming from this front that has been passing slowly through Wisconsin, and it is about halfway across the state. And a big chunk of it now, excuse me, heading into Michigan, into, I just lost it. I hate this map. Grand Haven, Saugatuck is getting it. Grand Rapids is, it is approaching Grand Rapids. And so Benton Harbor is getting it. You don't know the history behind Benton Harbor, do you?
Your history with Benton Harbor?
No. It's Chicago radio history with Benton Harbor.
I do not.
Do you remember the show Chicken Man?
I never knew the show Chicken Man. I know Dick Orkin.
Yeah.
The famous radio announcer, right? Who was the voice of Dickie, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dickie and Grandma, you know the commercials.
That's right.
You recently passed away. And I know Chicken Man was a huge thing on CFL, right?
Yeah, I believe it was, yes.
The old WCFL, which I'd never heard in my life that I know of.
Okay, well, because you're a lot younger. It was back in the 60s, and I used to listen to it in a transistor under the pillow late at night, because the show would be on late at night, Chicken Man. There were short episodes. And Benton Harbor, if I remember my history correctly, was the was Chicken Man's regular name before he would jump into his costume and become
Became the superhero Chicken Man.
He was Benton Harbor.
Well, that's interesting. Now here, here's our difference. Here's our generational difference. Roger.
Okay,
you grew up with a transistor radio in the bed listening to Chicken Man.
Yes,
I grew up with a clock phone radio in my bed late at night listening to Sexually Speaking with Dr. Wolf Westheimer.
Oh my God. Wow.
And that was on, I don't know, it was on like 10 o'clock at night on Sunday nights or something. I don't know what station it was on. But when I was in fifth or sixth grade, I don't know what, I got a phone in my room. It was like a birthday present.
Mm-hmm.
And an incredibly awesome thing I found out about this phone that my parents didn't know about was, so it was a really awesome clock radio phone, probably made like by Montgomery Ward or something.
Okay.
And the phone would make just a bleep before it would ring.
Ooh.
Before any phone in the house would ring, I would get this little warning that a call was coming.
Oh, no.
So late at night, mm-hmm. my friends could call, and I'd hear a bloop, and if I was quick, I'd grab it. And I'd be like, hey, Sarah, yes, I'm listening to Dr. Ruth. Yes, she's on the air right now. Can you believe what she just said? What are they talking about? And we would stay up listening to Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
Oh, my God.
Sexually speaking.
Yes, you do that way too well.
I listen to a lot of
it. I know. Oh, my goodness. That is a huge cultural difference.
It is. And yeah. now my kids are going to grow up saying I snuck my iPad up at night and I watched YouTube videos or something. Not nearly as, you know, endearing.
No, not at all. Are you kidding?
Wolf. Yeah. What are you going to do?
They'll never remember the videos, and look what we remember.
That is probably true, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. Yeah. I don't know, you know, what our kids will recall and remember. It will be interesting to see how their life goes. But pouring on Michigan Avenue right now. It is, by the way, so it's our last night here at the Tribune Tower.
Mm-hmm.
When I got here, I went up to the fourth floor newsroom because I wanted to look at the Tribune newsroom one last time. And I will put some photos up tonight on our Facebook fan page. Go to the Matt Bubala Show on Facebook. Give it a like. I'll put up some photos. It's all ripped apart.
Yeah.
So earlier this week, they still had, ooh, big lightning on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
Earlier this week, they had...
Wait, I want to see this from way up here.
They still had the desks, and they had everything else in there. But now when you walk around in the fourth floor newsroom, the floor's ripped out. It's all just wires and everything.
Is the newsquarium still there, or is that ripped out?
Is that the little CLTV studio?
Yeah.
Yes, that is still there.
Okay.
But there's nothing in it.
Right.
But the floor is all gone because, you know, it had a raised floor and had all the electric underneath. Right, all that's destroyed and gone.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could really see, it looked a little abandoned, too. There's some papers on the floor and things like that. The only thing that was really left was a little display case that talked about their Pulitzer Prize winners. It had Mary Schmeek and somebody else in their article up there. But
now, do you remember seeing the pictures from that room of the newsquarium and on the outside part, around the top were gold plaques of all the different Tribune properties. So there was Chicago Tribune, CLTV.
All it says now is CLTV.
That's the only one that's left.
Yep.
It had WGN-TV, it had WGN Radio, and something else.
Okay.
I will be getting that WGN Radio one.
I thought you were going to say you went up there and stole it, but somebody's going to give it to you.
No, I made plans. I made plans when I saw that they were starting to pack up. And I have a couple of friends who work right there front of it, made some calls, and it is waiting for me. And I, at some point, I will get it and bring it over here.
I'm going to get the letters here on the side of the building, the WGN radio letters. They're like 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to, I'm actually, I didn't ask anybody.
You're going to climb up like the raccoon and just kind of take them off?
I'm just going to come take them. What the heck? Who's going to say anything?
Yeah, exactly.
312-591-7200 is the phone number tonight. However, I believe our text line is still 312-981-7200. So let's keep our pencils and scorecards ready for how this is going to work all night long. It is 2:30 in the morning, so why don't we get a quick check of the news from Roger, and then Dr. Natalie Marks from Blum Animal Hospital here in Chicago will pay us a visit. Go ahead, Rog. Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. 2:37 in the morning, Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. In a very wet Michigan Avenue, we're in the Allstate Showcase Studio in the historic Tribune Tower building. My final night of broadcasting here. I've spent over 20 years of my life in and out of this building. I was first hired to produce the John Williams Show in September of 1997. I left in June of 2007 when I had started my own company, Black Dog Radio Productions. We syndicate Steve Dale's national radio pet shows and do a bunch of video work and stuff like that. But off and on from there, as soon as I left, we were doing video work here. And then I got to start hosting here. So I've been a part of this station for 21 years now, and all of it has been right here in the Tribune Tower building. So while I'm excited to see the new digs next week, I'm very sad to leave this very historic building here in Chicago. And I've been taking whatever time I can to run around in this building and see the sights and see everything that's being torn out. I'm doing some urban exploring as I can. I'll put up some photos later on Facebook. Joining us in studio right now, though, is our good friend, Dr. Natalie Marks. She is the What are you, the chief medical officer? What are you at Blum Animal Hospital? What's your official title?
The medical director.
The medical director. I keep getting that wrong. The medical director of Blum Animal Hospital, which is at Belmont and Clark, just a few blocks south of Wrigley Field. One of the biggest animal hospitals here in Chicago, right?
That's right.
Multiple times voted favorite or best veterinary practice in Chicago, correct?
Yes, many times.
Many times. Oh, I'm sorry. Many times voted best practice in Chicago. It's where Steve Dale takes his pets. It's where we take our dog, Bailey. And it's a wonderful practice with lots of wonderful people, just like Dr. Natalie Mark. So we wanted you to come swing by tonight if you had time, because it is getting very hot out now and it is summer season. And I know that there are certain things we need to be aware of with our pets, and things that as a veterinarian, I imagine you want your clients to be proactively doing with their pets at home so that they don't have to come visit you when it's not scheduled to happen.
That's right. Yeah. And we're supposed to have this, doesn't look like it right now, but a horrible heat advisory this weekend. Yeah. So one thing that we see every summer, and we see too much of, unfortunately, are dogs coming in with heat stroke or heat exhaustion. It doesn't take much for your dog to overheat. Obviously, we want to provide fresh water and shade, but that really does little to cool dogs as they overheat at the parks. And one thing that every pet owner should remember is dogs don't sweat like we do. They can lose and lose water and cool a little bit through their tongue and a teeny bit through the pads of their feet, but they really don't sweat. So unlike us, where we can cool that way, they can't. And things as simple as leaving them in a car while you run in and grab your Starbucks in the morning. On a hot day, it only takes about 30 minutes for your car to go from about 80 degrees to 125 degrees. And it doesn't take long for that to be a life-threatening situation. So not just having them wait in a parked car, but also exercising at the park. You know, I always tell owners between 10 and 4, we really don't like to see our dogs being out and super active, because it's the heat of the day. And with the humidity we're supposed to have, again, it won't take long for your dogs to have excessive panting or drooling or even trouble walking. And that body temperature can escalate to over 107 degrees. And that is a life-threatening situation.
And I think a lot of us think, oh, it's okay, we'll have plenty of water for them, or we'll have ice cubes. But is that always enough, or is that not necessarily?
No, it's not, because they just can't cool their body down. So if you're at a park or a dog beach or somewhere and you start to see your dog not wanting to walk and excessively panting, and maybe their gums are turning a little bit different color, they're not that happy pink, or they're stumbling, or they start to vomit, that is something to take serious note of. I would seek medical attention if you can right away. But on the way, things you can do, we don't want to ice anything on a dog, because that's too much of a shock of the body temperature and it can actually cause more damage. So cool water towels that you can drape over the dog. If you have rubbing alcohol close by, if you're at home or in the backyard, you can wet down the pads of a dog's feet with rubbing alcohol, and that will cool them.
Really?
Yep. That's
interesting.
Kind of a crude home way to do that. But again, no ice. We definitely don't want that. If you can check your dog's temperature, it's really important to know that a dog's temperature really shouldn't be over 102.5 degrees. So they do run a little bit higher than us normally. But we see dogs, like I said, unfortunately, 105, 106, or even not even registering, which is over 107. And those dogs can have some life-threatening complications. So it's something to definitely take seriously. Again, see too much of this. So I would encourage owners, especially those that have the smushed face breeds, the English Bulldogs and Pugs and Bostons, those dogs with the very smushed faces, they cannot cool. And they are the ones that are most prone to overheating. Mm.
What about dogs? So like our dog Bailey is very shaggy.
Yes.
And is that more of a danger than in the summertime, or does that not make a difference?
No, it's actually a common misconception. We don't shave dogs. We don't recommend that for cooler weather. They have their body coat, their hair coat for a reason, and it's not going to help them cool more, because again, they don't sweat like we do.
Right.
So,
but I would just think if you got a fur coat on, you're going to be hotter than if you didn't.
Yeah, you would think that,
but
most of our dogs that overheat are dogs that are short coated, like English Bulldogs and Pugs, and so it doesn't really make a huge difference. It's really more the exposure and what they're doing and how they're exercising, and can they cool down.
Producer just asked in my ear, what about a double coat? Is there such a thing? Dogs have a double coat?
Dogs like Huskies and the ones that have the undercoat? Is that what you're saying?
Go ahead and jump on air, Jess.
Hi.
Hey, Jess.
Correct. So I have two really fluffy dogs, and one's a mixed breed and one's a full-blooded. I believe both of them have double coats.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better or not, I guess, more productive to trim them like in the summertime if they have a double coat?
Yeah, no, I mean, most of the specialists in our area would say you shouldn't, that we really don't recommend shaving, again, because they're used to their own body temperature in the coat that they have. It's more important to avoid those hot times of the day and to be watching them, just kind of monitoring when you're out and about walking to make sure they're not showing signs that they're not tolerating the heat.
We did going back to the hot cars, we did a video with Steve Dale a year or two ago where we sat him in a hot car and put a fur coat on him and put a hat on him. And it wasn't crazy hot out that day, but the car got up to like 115 degrees very quickly.
Yeah.
And so even if we think, oh, it's quick and we'll leave the windows cracked, that's a really bad idea.
It is. Yeah. And especially those breeds I mentioned, because they just cannot cool well.
Yeah.
So, I just tell people, if you're going out on errands and it's in the summertime, I know it's awesome to take your dog and be out and about, but it's really not the best place for them to be. Leave them at home.
There have been a lot of headlines about the CDC and ticks.
Yes.
And the tick population really exploding. And working with Steve, we talk a lot about this. And our dog Bailey had a tick on him in February, which seemed insane because from what I know about ticks, they generally are in brushy areas and things like that. It was February. It wasn't really warm out. And we don't have big high weeds or anything near our house. And Bailey is always on leash. So I was stunned by that. And then just a few weeks ago, when we were at the baseball park with the boys, but we were parked in a concrete lot, we come back after the game, and we had a tick on our dashboard. And that just seemed crazy to me. But then you read these stories that the tick population is really booming and exploding.
Mm-hmm.
How much do we have to worry about that with our dogs?
It's a huge problem. It's the worst year on record for all populations. And the reason you're seeing ticks in February and in places where we normally wouldn't see them is because ticks have to have freezing temperatures for more than 2 weeks for them to not be reproducing and populating. And unfortunately, our winter here, we didn't see that this year. Mm. We had a few days of cold weather, and then I remember some days where we were at 60 degrees. So if that's the case, basically they overwinter in sort of the permafrost, that little layer on the top of the ground, where it's sort of a variable temperature, and they just kept reproducing and reproducing. So the numbers are sort of out of control right now, and they're also discovering there's a lot of new diseases out there from ticks that we didn't even know about. So for our dogs, it's really, really important to make sure that they're on a flea and tick preventative monthly, and talking to your veterinarian, making sure they're making the right choice for your dog's health and your dog's exposure. Most of them are monthly. A few of them are up to 3 months of protection, but it's also important to be checking your dogs when they're going outside. And the classic thing, like you mentioned, of having to be in like a forest preserve or in big tall grass, we know that's not the case anymore because ticks hitch rides on dogs that are going to those places and maybe coming into your neighborhood. In the city, we see dogs that never leave Lincoln Park coming in with ticks or getting them at the dog beach, because other dogs go to Wisconsin and Michigan and bring populations back on them.
So you said that there's flea and tick preventives, and there's a lot of them out there. I guess mm-hmm. the most important thing is talk to your veterinarian about which one is right for you and your dog and your lifestyle, and don't just go to some over-the-counter store and pick up something that says naturally prevents ticks. I mean, these really good medications work, but they need to be prescribed by a veterinarian for the most part, right?
We do recommend that because there's a lot of different signs that dogs present with tick disease. So it can be anything from flu-like syndrome to arthritis to kidney failure. And some dogs get meningitis. I mean, there's so many different diseases out there. And we really want to make sure that when we're protecting these dogs, that we're using the ones that have had the research behind it and have had studies behind them to show that they actually work. So naturally occurring products out there, while it might sound nice and fluffy to a lot of people because
people are all, oh, I don't want to use anything too harsh. I don't want to. So we want to use this. And, you know, we'll hear people, oh, onions work or this works or this oil works. But there is no research behind those things. And while these might be harsh chemicals, when you read it, it's going to prevent the tick. And they've been researched. We believe that they're safe and things like that as far as pharmaceuticals go. Right.
Well, right. The other thing, though, to remember, and I always encourage owners to think about this, is if there's a tick on your dog and you were walking that dog, there's a chance that that tick is on you. Mm-hmm. Or if your dog is outside and it has 20 ticks on it, and remember, ticks are tiny. They're very, very hard to see. If you're not using the right preventatives to make sure those ticks are dying, you know, ticks can survive a lot of things. We say ticks only die from blowtorches. So those ticks are going to come into your home on your dog and potentially be exposure for disease to your family. Mm-hmm. So as a, you know, I like to think of myself sort of our practice is like family doctors, because we're worried about protecting your dogs and cats and doing the best for their health. But we also, as public health officers, are responsible for the diseases that are zoonotic, that can go from dogs to people or from animals to people. And tick disease is sort of one of these enigmas that can affect both our veterinary populations, dogs and cats, and also humans. And sometimes we know and are educating clients a lot more than their human doctors are in some areas of tick disease. So I really encourage owners to think about that aspect, because the last thing you want to do is be exposing your family to Lyme disease because we aren't protecting your dog.
Yeah. Lyme disease is the big one we hear about. There are other tick diseases out there we need to worry about. You mentioned that ticks affect both dogs and humans. Dogs don't spread any tick disease to humans, right. But there is another disease that dogs spread to humans that actually killed a man in New York City last year. Let's talk about that next. 312-591-7200 if you have a question for Dr. Natalie Marks from Blum Animal Hospital here in Chicago. We'll be taking that right after we take a quick break here on 720 WGN. Watch how good 2:55 in the morning, Matthew Bauer with you, 720 WGN. My final broadcast from the historic Tribune Tower. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Next week, we'll be in the Allstate Skyline Studios at 303 East Wacker. In studio with us right now for a few more minutes, Dr. Natalie Marks from Blum Animal Hospital, blumvet.com.
That's the
website.
Yes.
You can visit them online and schedule an appointment. Go see Dr. Marks or Dr. Georgeson or one of the other fine doctors that they have up at Blum Animal Hospital at the corner of Belmont and Clark, in a really cool area that's really changed a lot in the last few years.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's good crazy, though, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's it was always a good area, but it's really being built up now like crazy.
Yeah, with all the development from Wrigley. Absolutely.
Yeah, is that kind of spilled all the way down?
Yeah, it is. It's a lot busier, which is hard. I mean, we plan our days by Cubs games. So
I imagine. Well,
but it's good. It's good.
Good time to be
great neighbors.
Yeah,
great neighbors.
Okay, so we talked as we were going into the break about a zoonotic disease. So that's a disease that can be passed from an animal to a human.
Right.
That actually killed a guy in New York City last year, and we don't hear a lot about it. It's called leptospirosis. What is this, and how do we watch out for it?
Well, it's the most common zoonotic disease worldwide. So we have to know about it. And the reason we have to know about it in Chicago is because it's a bacteria that lives in rodents, and they live harmoniously with it, and then they urinate it out in standing water sources. So we just got named the rattiest city in the U.S. Yeah, what a title. but because of that, unfortunately, we have a huge reservoir of this disease. It's from rats and raccoons and possums and lots of other of our urban wildlife. But just like tonight, with all this rain and the puddles that are going to be on the street or standing water in your alleyway or at the dog parks or those bowls in front of businesses that obviously have good intentions but end up being reservoirs for this, our dogs can drink the standing water or step in it and lick their feet, and then they get infected with leptospirosis. And leptospirosis, the problem with it is it can look like the flu, and a lot of owners will say, oh, my dog's just got some diarrhea, I'll kind of wait it out. But what ends up happening is it can cause liver and kidney disease, and it can be fatal. The good news is it's a bacterial disease, and we can, when diagnosed appropriately and early, we can treat it with antibiotics. But it is a zoonotic disease, and so you've got a dog that, because of this disease, is urinating all over the place. And unfortunately, owners can be exposed to this bacteria through those accidents in the house and maybe not cleaning them up with the best hygiene.
Or not knowing necessarily that you had an accident, especially if you have a toddler who likes to crawl around, put their hands in their mouth.
Yeah.
That can be a very bad situation.
Absolutely.
And somebody did die in New York City last year. So this is a serious disease.
Yeah. And I mean, people, we usually hear about lepto from triathletes that are swallowing lake water, or from people going in hot springs.
Okay.
That's the most common way we hear about it. But we do know that one out of 10 pets will spread lepto to their owners. Mm. So it is a significant disease. And I will tell you, in Chicago, it absolutely exists. So it's very, very important to talk to your veterinarian, especially if you live in a contaminated neighborhood, because like up by Wrigley, we have tons of alleyways and tons of standing water. And we want to make sure that people know there is a vaccination against leptospirosis. So talk to your veterinarian and make sure that it's appropriate for your dog and its lifestyle and health. And avoiding these water sources, making sure you're wiping your dog's feet and mouth when they come in, like with a baby wipe, and making sure that you're not allowing them to drink out of these standing water places, as often as you can.
Yeah. You mentioned that there is a vaccine for leptospirosis. There's also one for Lyme disease in dogs.
That's right.
It's interesting, in veterinary medicine, we have a lot of things that we don't necessarily even have for humans.
I know.
Because there currently isn't a vaccine for humans for Lyme disease.
No. I mean, in human medicine, Lyme disease, I think, is still quite controversial. You know, the research that's coming behind it, and is it really curable or is it more of a chronic managed disease? In dogs, we have a little bit more objective measurement of how infected a dog is by certain blood tests that we can run. And doxycycline, which is the antibiotic of choice for all of our tick diseases, is still very effective. Thank goodness. We haven't had resistance to it. But there's a lot of new information coming out. So who knows what's going
to
happen.
Real quick, because we've got to get to the news. But people are traveling like crazy with their pets. And you guys were just named the first, I think you were certified, the first practice in Illinois to be certified fear-free.
Yes.
A quick minute about what that is and how that relates to pet owners, and also some of the products that we can use at home to help relieve fear, anxiety, and stress in our pets.
Well, you did a great job of introducing it. It's an initiative right now that's sweeping across the country, really, and it's looking at our patients. We've done a great job as veterinarians of looking out over their physical well-being in the last, you know, how many decades, but we've really not done a great job at looking after their emotional well-being. And we know so many of our pets have fear, anxiety, and stress associated with lots of different triggers: thunderstorms, fireworks, travel, or coming to the veterinary office. So what we've done is we've gone through a lot of different steps to ensure that when our dogs and cats come and their owners, that we do everything we can to make that visit as positive and as free of fear, anxiety, and stress as possible. And that can involve anything from using pheromone therapy, which I think you and Steve talk about quite a bit. So yeah, things like Adaptil and Feel-Away, which are chemicals that dogs and cats make naturally to relax. So we've been able to capture them synthetically and put them in collars and in wipes and sprays. Doing different strategies from home, like getting cats adapted more to their cat carrier, so it's not so stressful coming in. We use different lighting and different music, and we do high reward treats and things that dogs may or may not get on occasion at home, but we love giving frozen peanut butter cups and turkey hot dogs and anchovy paste and all kinds of things that are really, really tempting to take their mind into a positive place instead of a negative place, and different low stress handling so that we don't have to use scruffing or muzzles or things that may have had a negative connotation for your pet in the past. So we're really proud of it. Seventh in the country, first in Illinois. It's taken a year to really retrain ourselves and focus on the emotional well-being of pets. And we definitely are hearing very positive reviews from clients. So we're very proud of it.
That is at Blum Animal Hospital at Belmont and Clark. If you're interested, blumvet.com. You can learn more about Fear Free because they're expanding that into homes now, fearfreehappyhomes.com, to learn more about creating a more fear-free environment in your home. And of course, all of this stuff we've talked about tonight, Steve Dale covers all the time. Visit stevedalepetworld.com or give Steve Dale a like on Facebook, and you can see all sorts of videos we've done on a lot of these subjects as well. Dr. Natalie Marks, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having
me. Great to see you. All right. When we come back after the news, the craziest thing I've ever heard somebody do in a relationship, they got sued for it. We'll talk about what that is. You're not going to believe it. You can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado. For details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Hey, if you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. 3:03 in the morning. Let's get the news now. Roger Badish. Very nice, Adele. Thank you. Because it is raining outside. 312-981-7200 is the text line for tonight. Downers Grove pouring rain just started, says 847. Texter from Schaumburg a little while ago said, looks like bad storms on the weather radar just to the north of Schaumburg. Yep. Enjoy your final show in the Tribune Tower. Thank you very much. I am.
Actually, the rain down to Whiting, Indiana now. All the way up north.
My parents' hometown, both my parents, born and raised, Whiting, Indiana. Yeah.
There you go. They're getting some heavier rains. Heavy rains on the south side of Chicago, down south before Whiting. We have heavy rains out by Oak Park, Cicero, Westchester, Brookfield. Heavy rains approaching Evanston, Lincolnwood. Heavier rains actually out near Algonquin and Lake in the Hills. Elgin getting some heavy rain. It is now cleared out pretty much of the Rockford area. Some straggling showers there. We're going to look at this for another hour or so before it moves out of the area, maybe hour and a half.
So are you telling me we might have some issues getting our 9 a.m. baseball game in tomorrow morning?
No.
But what about the big puddles? This is gonna
I'm just talking about the rain falling.
Falls, and then we have puddles, and it takes forever to get those stupid things up.
Don't you have all the equipment in the back
of
your car?
No, we don't.
Oh, well.
You know what we use now?
What?
Which is wonderful. Well, there's various things you use. But we bought last year as a Little League these puddle pillows.
Oh?
Wonderful things. Looks about the size of a pillow.
Uh-huh.
Sewn in half, so it's like two small pillows sewn together.
Okay.
You drop it in a puddle. You leave it there for a few seconds. You pick it up, put it over a bucket, wring it out.
Oh.
I mean, it's amazing.
Super
it's
absorbent. Wonderful.
Super absorbent.
Wow, that's great.
Now, it tires you out because you got to sit there wringing your hands with those things forever, but it helps.
But don't you play at these parks where they have these big metal containers behind the backstop and there's usually like sand in there and shovels and stuff?
We buy tons and tons of field dry and field conditioner, but you can't just throw that on top of puddles. It's just going to become a messy, slushy puddle.
Yeah.
You got to get the puddle off. You got to turn the field over with the tractor. You got to put the field dry on. You got to turn it over again. You need some sun, some wind.
It'll be sunny.
It will.
But it's still going to be messy.
God, it was muggy tonight coming in. You know, it's interesting because we always talk about when we have a hot weekend, so we're going to assume that, unfortunately, there's going to be more shootings than the previous weekend.
Yeah, we've already had them tonight.
So the hot weather, that tends to happen.
Right.
Also, the economy picks up pretty strongly, I saw tonight, because the streetwalkers were out en masse.
Well, hello there, sailor.
Holy mama.
Yeah?
Had very nice outfits on. I saw a lovely young lady urinate in front of a car.
Wow, that was appropriate.
She bent down so most people couldn't see her. It was very, thoughtful.
She used the car to hide her?
She did. It was on the street between two parked cars.
Well,
there was room.
Yeah.
She squatted. I looked. She laughed. I laughed. We went on about our day.
Welcome to the Matt Bubalo Show.
Gotta do what you gotta do. This is what happens when Tribune Tower takes away your parking.
Well, wait a minute. I thought Starbucks allowed people to go in and use their bathrooms now without ordering anything.
I think the Starbucks is closed.
Oh, at that hour. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Then you got to go to the street. So, by the way, we mentioned Steve Dale with the whole segment we just did with Dr. Marks, blumvet.com.
Yep.
Steve had a birthday on Friday.
I know.
Big birthday for Steve.
A lot of happy birthday wishes.
All of you out there that are friends with Steve on Facebook, make sure you harass him about getting another year older.
Yes.
Because in dog years, he's like 180.
I know. But if you scratch him behind his ear, he loves it.
Yeah, and he wags the one leg. It's really weird. All right, here is the headline.
Okay.
Clarinetist, because that's where all relationships tend to go wrong, is if you're a clarinetist. These are not the type of people you'd expect to really backstab each other.
Wait a minute. I play the clarinet.
I played the clarinet, too.
Look at that.
Really badly for a couple of years in grade school. They would put me in the middle of the marching band where nobody could hear. You, Bubala, middle in the back.
Well, you had to march.
Just pretend.
I got to sit.
Oh, God, my parents made me march in that marching band.
That
lucky stuffy uniform.
Yeah.
Had to practice during summer when you're supposed to be out of school.
Right.
It was the worst. I got out of it after 2 years. I think I just wore mom and dad down. They're like, fine, forget it. You're so annoying.
I lasted 1 year. Not even a full year.
There you go.
Yeah, I took lessons and I can't read music. So I just kind of
makes it tougher.
I memorized where my fingers were supposed to go and what sound was supposed to come out of the clarinet.
So. I memorized what sound was supposed to come out.
Well, you know.
Okay, listen to this.
Okay.
Eric Abramovitz was 7 years old when he first learned to play the clarinet. By the time he was 20, the Montreal native had become an award-winning clarinetist, studying with some of Canada's most elite teachers and performing a solo with Quebec's finest symphony orchestra. During his second year studying at McGill University, he decided to apply to the world-class Colburn Conservatory of Music in Los Angeles, which offers every student a scholarship covering tuition, room and board, and living expenses. He hoped to study under Yehuda Gilad, an internationally renowned clarinet professor who accepts only 2 new students per year at Colburn.
Ooh.
Abramovitz spent hours every night practicing, he said in an interview with the Washington Post, and after his live audition in Los Angeles in February 2014, he was confident that he would be accepted. Weeks later, he opened an email signed by Gilad, letting him know he had not been selected for the program. Abramovitz ended up finishing his bachelor's degree at McGill, delaying his professional music career. I just invested so much, Abramovitz said. I gave it all I had. Okay.
Okay.
2 years later, so he goes on, he studies, he gets his undergrad.
Mm-hmm. But then denied.
Was denied.
Yeah.
Okay. In 2016, about 2 years after he was rejected by Gilad, Abramovitz applied once more to study with the renowned professor. Gilad remembered Abramovitz. Mm-hmm. And after his audition, Gilad asked him a perplexing question. What are you doing here? You rejected me.
Oh.
The professor said that to Abramovitz, who himself thought he had been rejected by Gilad 2 years previously. What? Clearly, something must have gone wrong, Abramovitz said he thought then. At first, he thought he could have been deceived by a computer-savvy clarinetist out there who wanted my demise. See, what happened was 2 weeks later, he got an email saying, you have not been accepted. So he went on about his life, right? But then he applies again, and the professor says, why are you here? You rejected me.
Yeah. That's strange.
Abramovitz would find out that he was, in fact, accepted to the program. The letter was not sent by Gilad, but by Abramovitz's girlfriend, a flute student at McGill who had spent night after night consoling him about the rejection.
Oh, no.
The girlfriend had logged onto his email account and deleted his acceptance letter to Colburn. She impersonated Abramovitz in an email to Gilad, declining the offer because he would be, quote, elsewhere. Then she impersonated Gilad through a fake email address, telling Abramovitz he had not been accepted.
Something is wrong with her.
Well, Abramovitz suspects it was a scheme to ensure that he wouldn't move away, or perhaps he wonders, was the girlfriend jealous? On Wednesday, a judge in Ontario Superior Court awarded Abramovitz $350,000 in damages.
Wow.
Caused by his girlfriend's, quote, reprehensible betrayal of trust and, quote, despicable interference in Mr. Abramovitz's career. Not only did Abramovitz suffer a loss of income and a delayed education, but he also had a, quote, closely held personal dream snatched from him by a person he trusted, the judge wrote. By this point, when he applied again, he and the girlfriend had already been broken up for more than a year. Even so, it did not occur to him that she could be responsible for impersonating him. I never would have even considered that the person I trusted the most would have done something like this to me. But then one of his friends suggested the possibility that his ex-girlfriend could be responsible. After all, when they dated, Abramovitz essentially lived with her, leaving his computer easily accessible to her. She knew his passwords, could have easily logged onto his email. In May 2016, Abramovitz and his friend tried logging onto the email account that sent the fake rejection letter. And they list the email address. Mm-hmm. It was something, the guy's name, 09@gmail.com. Now, he first got this, I'm going to blame him a little on this. JilliadYahud09@gmail.com is the rejection letter I'm getting from the most prestigious clarinetist professor in the world.
Yeah, right.
Wouldn't you go, boy, that's an odd email address.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just write him back, or maybe we should call the school.
You think it would be from the school.
You would think.
Yeah.
What is he, Hillary Clinton, using the personal email for private business?
And not only that, why is he using an 09? Are there like 8 other Gilead
exactly.
before
Who
him?
Got the first 8? 09.
Oh, my. my gosh, it's unraveling.
Jess says a lot of people do it by school year, so that would be the 09. But if this is a clarinetist professor, what is it, 1909?
Yeah, right. He graduated already.
Long time ago. So, they see the email address. Abramovitz remembered an old password the ex-girlfriend used for Facebook. And sure enough, we got right in. The ex-girlfriend's contact information appeared clearly in the email account. Oh. The only exchange in the inbox was the rejection letter sent to Abramovitz.
Wow.
It was not only a stab in the back, but in the heart, Abramovitz said. He hired a lawyer, filed a lawsuit against the former girlfriend, and never spoke with her again. She never responded to the lawsuit he filed against her and lost by default. The Washington Post could not locate her for comment. Despite missing his initial chance at studying with Gilad, Abramovitz did eventually become his student. After finishing his bachelor's degree at McGill, Abramovitz attended graduate school at the University of Southern California, where Gilad also taught. In January, he joined the Nashville Symphony as an assistant principal clarinetist. Months later, he accepted a similar position in the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. Quote, I'm very thankful that despite what happened and what she did, I still landed on my feet and realized what I set out to do. Though he had begun studying with Gilad years earlier, he could have saved tens of thousands of dollars in tuition money at both McGill and USC. He could have fast-tracked his professional career. Writing in a sworn affidavit, Gilad said he agreed. Quote, I am certain that had Eric not been robbed of his opportunity to study with me 2 years earlier, he could already have won an audition and been commanding this respectable salary 2 years earlier.
Wow.
I am very frustrated that a highly talented musician like Eric was the victim of such an unthinkable, immoral act that delayed his progress and advancement as an up-and-coming young musician and delayed his embarking on a most promising career. Since the breakup, Abramovitz has begun a new relationship, he said, quote, a healthier one.
I wonder if these two ever got back together.
No, he hasn't spoken to her, and he just won $325,000 from her. And she hasn't responded to the lawsuit, so I don't know if he's going to have any luck getting that money. Or not.
Yeah, that's right. Where's that going to come from?
He didn't get the $350,000, Jess. He won it. He sued her. She never responded to the lawsuit, so she wins by default. So the judge awarded him the money. But I don't know if they've... The Washington Post can't track her down. Maybe she's pretty unfindable right now. But that is, you know...
Wow.
We should have been playing the Meatloaf song during that. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Yeah.
Maybe she did change her name, Jess. Maybe you're right. Now, Raj, can you ever remember doing anything just terrible?
No, I'm not that kind of person. No.
Jess?
No, I don't know. No.
You've had some boyfriends over the years, and you've seen some girls that have had some boyfriends on the air. Have you ever seen somebody or heard a story of somebody doing anything really despicable to deceive a partner to keep a relationship together?
No, I don't think so.
You think that is very uncommon that somebody would go to great lengths like that? What would your guess be? Was it jealousy or was it, you know, they were in Canada?
Well, it sounded like it was jealousy.
I think she didn't want him to move away because she loved him.
Yeah, but...
Not the right way to go about it.
She was jealous of the possibility that he would because he was, even though she was accomplished... she was fearful that his ability would take him away quicker. You know, that because it was 2 years that he wasted.
Yeah.
So he could have done it right away, fast-tracked, as the story says. He could have been gone within 6 months.
He could have been.
And she'd still be stuck there, playing with the band or whatever she was doing.
Playing with the band. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about this because I wondered like how you go through it. Like, is anybody out there, if you want to clear your conscience here at 3:24 in the morning, you're welcome to. Have you had to live with some huge lie in a relationship? Because imagine that this works out, that he just moves on. He never checks up on it. They get married.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think like 30 years down the road, she's like, honey, I got to tell you something. It's really weighing on me. I mean, that's a big matzo ball hanging.
That's
out there.
I don't think.
Can you go the rest
of
the life?
If she's done it 30 years, if she's gone 30 years, your premise, if she's gone 30 years hiding that, she needs to know that if she opens her mouth, that would be the end of the relationship. Seriously.
So unless he was taking that to the grave.
Yeah, I think so. Something that major.
That's pretty major.
To keep them together, unless he was totally clueless. and just listen to her explanation, go, okay.
Yeah, I guess if, you know, if she waited to tell him till he was like the world's most world-renowned clarinetist,
right,
she could say, and you know, it all worked out.
Yeah.
312-591-7200 for one night only, Flashback Saturday. We're going with the old phone number tonight. If you want to call and mention something that maybe you did over the years that you feel bad about, 312.
Or someone did to you.
Or someone did to you. Or a story just that, quote, you heard about. Doesn't have to, you know, be your story.
Right.
312-591-7200. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. One of the most god-awful songs in human history, but it fits here, doesn't it? 312-591-7200 is the number this morning. Anthony's called in from Lakeview. Hey, Anthony, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking me, boys.
Absolutely. What's going on?
Okay, so this is not my story. I heard this earlier today on one of the podcasts I listen to. It's called Spin Chicklets.
Okay.
Anyway, it involves two NHL forwards, Erik Karlsson. You might have heard of him. He's one of the better players in the league.
Okay.
And a former team, Mike Hoffman's wife and Erik Karlsson's wife. So this is basically a
We're gonna keep this clean for family radio, right, Anthony?
Yeah. No. Of course.
Okay.
This is like a the drama is between the two wives. So like. Like you said, I'll try and keep it as clean as possible. And it's not anything really dirty. Basically, Mike Hoffman's wife has been bashing Erik Karlsson's wife, the captain of the Ottawa Senators' wife, on Twitter for, like, the past 3 months. He's been making fun of Erik Karlsson and just saying, like, the ludicrous comments. And the wife of Mike Hoffman went as far to say that she wished, like, ill will upon Erik Karlsson's pregnant wife's stillborn.
Oh, my God.
So after that happened, they filed a restraining order. And this is while their current, like, their NHL season is going on.
And they're playing together on the same team?
They're on the same team. This didn't come to light until, like, I think the past week. And when Mike Hoffman was confronted about it, he said he was 150% sure that his wife said and made none of those comments on Twitter. But, like, there are several sources that are saying that, like, what Mike Hoffman's wife was saying on Twitter was actually her, and it wasn't just some burner account. So I was just wondering what you guys' take is on that. Like, it's a pretty crazy story.
Well, I don't have a comment because I never heard of this before, but did you get any juice on, like, why these wives hate each other so much? Did something happen?
I mean, I just heard about it recently. I haven't read about it. So Erik Karlsson, have you heard of him before?
No.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's a Swedish defenseman.
Okay.
One of the premier players in the league. He's known for being one of, like, the better guys in the entire league. So either Mike Hoffman's wife is crazy or there's just something that hasn't come out. And personally, I think the wife just has a screw loose, or it's the most complicated burner Twitter account.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, or maybe something happened between these two wives at a game or something. Maybe there was some transgression that ticked one off.
I mean, to go as far as to...
Yeah, that's pretty bad. To wish ill will on an unborn baby? Wow.
And the fact that her husband is, like, denying any claims, like, you got to feel bad for the guy. Like, if it is actually true, like, well, would you stay with her? Like, if came out that she was actually doing that, or would you divorce her?
You wouldn't automatically divorce somebody. If you found out it really was them, you'd find out what the source of this anger is. Maybe something happened, and try to get her some help. I mean, if the relationship is already maybe in a precarious position, but I don't think you'd divorce somebody just because they had a beef with somebody else. I mean, there's got to be something behind this. Or else she needs medical help. But I think that something must have happened between these wives or between the wives and one of the husbands that has somebody steaming.
And then one more thing to add to this story is Erik Karlsson is a free agent this year. So, like, this could affect him getting traded or not getting traded because, like, no team would want to take, like, even as good of a commodity as he is, would want to take someone with that much, like, baggage attached to him right now. So, like, it's kind of messing up his career and Mike Hoffman's.
Actually, there's a story in Sports Illustrated about this.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony, very much. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Sports Illustrated has a story from this from June 12th. Melinda Carlson, I hope I say these names right, wife of Senators defenseman Eric Carlson, filed an order of protection against longtime girlfriend of Senators forward Mike Hoffman. This, according to the Ottawa Citizen.
So these are girlfriends, not wives.
No, it's the longtime girlfriend of Senators forward, Mike Hoffman.
Okay.
So there's Melinda Carlson, the wife of Eric Carlson, and against the longtime girlfriend, who is Monica Carrick. So Melinda filed the order against Carrick, alleging cyberbullying and a campaign of harassment that plagued the Carlsons after the loss of their unborn son in March. The son, the couple lost their son, Axel, 1 month before his reported due date. According to the Ottawa Citizen, Melinda's statement to the court said that Carrick wished the baby and her dead, while also wishing someone would take out Eric's legs to end his career.
Oh my gosh.
The allegations are related to anonymous social media postings with accusations of burner accounts. What a burner account?
A burner account.
I know what a burner phone is.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. So you set up a fake Facebook account or Twitter account where you can write things and people don't know it's you.
I gotcha. Okay. Ottawa Citizen reports Eric called out a troll on Instagram after the baby's death who accused his wife of popping painkiller medication. The Senators issued a statement saying the team is cooperating, saying they are investigating the matter in association in cooperation with the NHL. And then Hoffman issued a statement saying he and Carrick are willing to cooperate and that it's, quote, 150% it's not them. Soon the players' wives started offering their take on the situation. One wife said she wasn't surprised and the women were supporting Melinda. And that's the end of that story.
So the girl, the person that's being accused is a girlfriend.
Is a girlfriend of one of the players.
Right.
Yes.
A longtime girlfriend.
Right.
That's crazy. So he's saying 150% it's not us.
Right.
Maybe he has no clue.
Possibly.
But then another wife comes out and says, I'm not surprised. That's not a good vote of confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's going to play out. And does it say the contract status of those two players?
No. There's no reference to that in the story.
Dude, that's harsh.
Yeah.
Somebody got wronged there. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, something happened there. There's more to that story.
Yo, there's got to be. There's got to be.
Hey, are we insanely late for the news right now?
Are we?
I think we are. 3:36 in the morning. Let's get upstairs and get some headlines outside of that. Here's Roger Badish. That airplane's in the night sky like shooting stars. I could really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Could we pretend that airplane's in the night sky like shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Matt Bobal with you, 720 WGN 312-591-7200 is the number for tonight. I don't know why. Something Roger probably screwed up at the new place means we're with the old number for tonight, but you can still text us at 312-981-7200.
Why is it always my problem?
Raj.
I'm not touching anything electronic with screwdrivers like I used to.
You probably are. You're probably up there doing stuff. You know, oh, what does this do? What does that do?
Been doing that.
Hey, by the way, Jess is picking a pizza. I know pizza's here.
Roger,
want to run over and have a slice?
Yeah. No.
You have 17 minutes to your next newscast. Mm-hmm. I bet you could do it.
No, it's raining out. I melt.
Oh, jeez.
By the way.
Yes.
The security staff in this building, extremely friendly. And if you can figure out if Papanino's will come across the river to deliver.
Wait, is that the Papanino's delivery man?
Yes.
Sir, can you come here real quick for a second? Can you talk to us for just a moment real quick, please? Would you mind? Have a seat.
Oh, boy.
Don't be nervous. What's your name, sir?
Rob.
Rob, how are you?
So far, so good.
We've been ordering Papaninos for about the last year. Have you delivered to us before? Is this your first time coming to the town?
My first time visiting these guys.
This is our last night in the Tribune Tower where we've been for the last 30 years.
Well, congratulations, and I'm definitely honored to be here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. We need to know. So we're moving across the river to 303 East Wacker. We're not going to be out of range, are we? Will you still deliver across the river?
For sure.
For sure that won't
yes.
be a problem? Because Roger, he's already that man, the newsman up there in the monitor you see. He's already in the new building across the river.
Oh, you just told him to come over and first.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm not going to run over there. He's lazy. He's really lazy. And he's getting older and kind of doddering, so we've got to take care of him. And so he wanted to make sure that the pizza will come to the new place.
Most definitely.
Won't be a problem.
Let us know where these guys are at, and we'll make it towards your way.
Excellent. Rod, thank you so much. I know you deliver to us here in the middle of the night. 3 a.m. What kind of people are you normally bringing pizza to? Just really drunk people?
No. There's a variety.
There is a variety?
Yes.
What would the variety
just
be?
Getting off of work.
A lot of people getting out of work, sure.
And of course, some people are falling or are asleep already.
Well, do you arrive at houses and they're like, oh, I forgot.
Yeah. They're just like, they're out of it.
They're passed out. Yeah.
You know what?
A busy week.
Yeah.
You know, long day.
Yeah.
But of course, we still got to eat something before you
go to bring
bed.
The pizza. You guys deliver till 4 a.m.?
Yes, we do.
Oh, you know what's really cool? You would think that since they deliver to 4 a.m., which is unheard of in this city.
Yeah. This is New York, people.
Unless it's because bars close at 4 a.m., so you would think, well, a bar would have pizza maybe. But they... You
bars
would think
tend
they
to close
would,
the grill like at midnight or 1 o'clock, and then they're just
well. It depends unless it's like something they throw into a microwave and warm it up for 2 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, they'll make you a hot pocket.
Yeah, but you would think this would be like a really big business, a really big restaurant that's got people coming in and out and all this stuff. I've seen the picture of the place.
Oh,
it's in a small neighborhood and it's a little corner pizzeria.
Is it a small little place? Is it really?
Yes.
Do you guys get a lot of orders in the middle of the night? Do you stay pretty busy?
Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
Until 4 a.m. and sometimes till 5 a.m.
Now, wow. I got to tell you something, because I don't mean this disparagingly at all, but we are stunned by how good the pizza is.
It's awesome.
Because you assume, oh, you're ordering pizza at 3 in the morning. It's going to be 3 in the morning pizza. This isn't 3 in the morning pizza. This is dinner time pizza. This is good stuff.
Yes, and that's why we got customers coming back towards us.
Yeah.
And we enjoy making that delivery for them.
Well, Rob, we really appreciate you bringing it by. We appreciate you coming in and saying hello, and we look forward to seeing you at our new digs at 303 East Wacker next week.
Fantastic, and happy Father's Day weekend to everybody.
Oh, thank you so much. Papaninos, what's the website for Papaninos? You don't know. What's the phone number? Do you know that? You don't know that. He just delivers the pizza.
He doesn't make the phone calls.
I don't do all that stuff. I just bring the pizzas hot and fresh to your door.
And it's 4 a.m, so I gotta concentrate.
It's only 3:46.
All right.
We'll give the digits out. We'll tell everybody about Papaninos. Thanks so much for coming in, Rob. We appreciate it. Have a good night. What, Jess, what's the website? Papaninosmenu.com is the website. 773-360-8164. If you want to order a pizza right now, that is up to you. You can try to do that. All right, Raj. We'll save you a piece till next week. It'll be
sounds
reheatable.
Good. You got
okay?
a deal.
All right. 312-981-591-7200. Linda, we'll talk to you next. 720 WGN. Welcome to my house.
Morning comes and you know that you want to stay. Close the blinds, let's pretend that the time has changed. Keep our clothes on the floor, open up champagne.
3:49, Matt Pabala with you, 720 WGN. Patty and her crew are still tearing up the Tribune Tower. You guys really should play tag. How much fun would that be to play hide and seek in an abandoned Tribune Tower? It's not abandoned technically, but you can. What floors did you guys go on? You went in the newsroom.
Yes.
I did that earlier tonight, too, before I came down here. I went to the newsroom and walked around, took pictures, which is so cool.
It is. Well, and it's cool and
sad.
It's sad.
It is sad.
Because it's like, there was so much vibrancy.
83 years they were there creating the newspaper every day. Think about that.
And, Scott Stantis gave me a tour of his office years ago and showed me, things he had collected from around the world and gifts that people had sent him. And now to look at it and just this all ripped apart, he had been working in his office still drawing cartoons for the Tribune, and the men's room was above him, and that started to leak into his office. Yeah. So, and he would tell you that it was, it really started to smell like crap in his office.
He might not be as sad about the move as other people.
Oh, he is. That's one of the saddest things. I was telling someone this the other day is that It's exciting to move to a new building. There's a lot going on here that's making it easy for us to want to leave. You know, yeah. The elevators get stuck and you don't necessarily know what floor you're going to get off on because the numbers say something different. But on the other hand, it means a lot that we're leaving basically what has been the altar of the freedom of press, the speaking to power, telling the truth. For WGN radio, people who get, upset about the way we, it's news and talk.
Yeah.
You know, Roger and Andrea and Judy Pilak and Steve Grisinich, they do the news and we talk about what that means to us, what our thoughts are. So it's just interesting that's been the really the heart of the city right here in WGN in the Tribune Tower.
Yeah, it is sad that we're leaving this building, that's for sure. It's going to be interesting to see what it's like when it's condos.
Oh, man.
It'd be a cool place to have a condo.
It'd be an amazing place to have a condo. Do you ever wish that you... Have you ever lived in a condo downtown in Chicago?
No. No, when we got married, we bought a townhouse in Schaumburg. And we've always thought, why the hell did we do that?
I kind of wish that when I was young... I don't think I would have ever had enough money. The closest I ever lived was Lincoln Square, which was great. But, to be downtown, to the heart of the city would have been great.
Yeah.
Maybe when I retire.
Yeah. There you go. When we're too old to enjoy it anymore, we'll be down here.
Exactly.
Wheeling us around.
Yeah, so by the way, to answer your question about playing tag, there were moments when we couldn't find members of our party. There were like eight of us wandering through the building. And we were like, Michael. And the next thing you know, okay, we got Michael. Elliot? Where'd Elliot go? So we kept losing people along the way. And you do get a little bit nervous because, we don't know what doors lock behind you. You know the stairwells.
Yeah.
It says, next exit first floor or only entry on 22nd floor. Now we're all over the place. You don't know if you're going to have reception on your phone.
Or if someone will be there.
If there's a ghost.
It's like a little horror story.
Oh, my God. We wanted to get into McCormick's office, the colonel's office, but we couldn't.
You can't get up there, right? And you couldn't get
out
of the balcony.
You can't. No, we were on the 24th floor. But
you can't get outside and you can't get into his office.
We couldn't get outside, but I think Michael and Susan Dannenberger did find their way to the 27th floor and kind of see out into the, the crown area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't get... I know. It would be great if they just left everything unlocked.
Scott knows how to find those places. Scott Santis, took people up there while I was on the air. He's like, let me show you the crown. And I'm like, but Scott.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm on the air. I can't go up there right
now. Yeah, that would have been neat.
I'm surprised you guys didn't rappel down from the top of the tower and pull off those. Because I can see the words, the Tribune word letters still lit on the side of the building.
Oh, you're saying we should have done something?
You should have gone down and just, acetylene torched the connections and roped them up.
There's a lawsuit involving those. We can't get involved in that.
Well, hey, if the mayor can go out to Meg's Field and rip up the tarmac in the dead of night, why not, take the letters?
Why would we take the Tribune letters? Why don't we take
the because
WGN
our friends
letters?
In the Tribune right over on the other side, we would help them, and then they would come back and take WGN letters for us.
Would they?
Would they?
Maybe.
I don't know that they would.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. I think that the letters should stay in the building. It's a great advertisement
for
the Tribune.
There's no way they're keeping that on there.
I'll bet they will.
You think so?
I think they're suing to keep it.
They're suing to
as
keep
a landmark?
It.
Yes, yeah. They're okay. suing the newspaper.
Matt's eyes are
oh my God,
saucers.
You don't know about this?
I had no idea.
The newspaper sued the people that bought the building to take the name with. And then the people that bought the building said, no, it's part of the contract. We can buy that for $1.
Oh.
And we're keeping it there as marketing because this is Tribune Tower.
Okay.
And the newspaper said, no, that's our intellectual property. Because the newspaper, the people that own the newspaper now, right?
They're claiming without the Tribune, it's not the Tribune Tower.
So they want the people that own the building now to pay them some real money for those letters.
When you came in tonight, I'm not sure if you had the security guard, a young guy, always very nice and friendly and likes to talk about the building or talk to you about coming. Hey, Matt, how you doing? Well, I came in two nights ago and he is very contemplative about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I've never been to Rome, but I always hear about the Colosseum and the ruins. And he goes, I think 1,000 years from now, the Tribune Tower, the remains of the tower, will be something that people walk around and wonder what was that all about? What was it like to walk into this building?
Where the
news was written, where people create just told the stories of Americans and Chicagoans, and I thought that was pretty incredible. We were upstairs in the editorial boardroom, and we found a book from the 1979 newspaper. January, what was it? January
26th.
January 25th, 1979. It was the whole newspaper. And actually, on the top left, it said, "Is testing animals inhumane?"
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, 1979. Yeah, there were some. And it was also, there was a piece on comparing Chicago's snow removal in comparison to Minneapolis and Montreal. And I was reading that paper for a while. I got a lot of information.
That's really cool. Did you leave it there?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Well, one, it seemed a little heavy to carry.
Okay.
But I don't know. Maybe I should go back and get
it. I totally think you should. When I was walking around up there, there were some things on the floor I was looking at.
Do you want that? I just don't know where I would put it.
I think it's pretty cool to have stuff like that.
Well, so I may have taken a telephone from that room.
They had some pictures up there, framed pictures still back in a room that I saw.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Well, why don't you get those?
Well, because that might be like a
pilfering.
Rustic, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
If I'm, when's the last show? Is Nick on
Nick
Sunday?
D turned the lights out in the studio.
Okay.
Nick D will be the last person to broadcast.
I'm going to go to the opening bell at the new place.
Yes.
Well, the opening bell has actually been here for about a week or so.
Yeah, but in the newsroom, yes.
But our
newsroom.
Final
right,
show
right.
here.
Not in the studios.
Is Nick this Sunday night.
The first full show broadcast will be Steve Cochran at 6 a.m. on Monday.
Mm-hmm. 217 says, Matt, could you ask Patty if there's an archive of her interview with Milt Rosenberg?
Oh, I would imagine that there is. It has to be from the spring of 2001. I want to say maybe early spring, like February or March. So I don't know how we find that. There were two interviews.
Do we have all old stuff?
Well, actually, the Milt Rosenberg estate has their own website, and they are prepping all the recordings. I just saw a post yesterday from them that there are additional new recordings that are now on of old shows from WGN.
It was, I mean, I had been on radio shows all over the country, but Milt Rosenberg, I mean, here was this, somebody that my dad loved listening to, and WGN, it was my first time in this building. Mm-hmm. But when he turned to me, because it was going to be a show about comedy, and I thought it was going to be about Chicago comedy, and they asked me, so I thought I would talk about being a woman in comedy. But when he turned to me and said, "Miss Vasquez, what is funny?" And I just stared at him. I full on stared at him. I was like, and Bill Leff and Steve Cochran, took out, because I mean, part of me was like, "What's funny?" And also, you just said my name wrong.
Yeah.
But I was having, it was, and then I we started to have a conversation, and then he goes, okay, so here's the scene. It's a cafe in Paris, and Aristotle walks in and he sees Monet, and he wanted us to do an improv scene, and so then we had to explain to him the difference between being stand up comics and creating an improv scene, because he was giving us a location,
setting it up,
and we all just stared at him, and we were like, oh boy,
we're not those people, you got the wrong panel tonight.
All three of us are, and we explained monologists, we talked about George Carlin, we talked about Joan Rivers and Richard Pryor. We actually did two shows on that. So they're in there somewhere in the archives.
We will, so maybe at WGNRadio.com, but I thought they had Milt stuff up at WGNRadio.com.
Yeah, some
time.
Is, but I think his family has started their own website, MiltRosenberg.com, and I just looked under the humor setting, and that show is not up yet.
There's also,
they have a humor setting.
They have a humor
setting. Well, the humor subtopic.
Setting. Yes.
Yeah. Shows by topic.
When they told me I would be taking over the 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. slot, there's a bigger audience and a different lens through which, people will be listening to our show. A different way people will listen. So I went back and I listened to shows by Bobby Collins, and Roy Leonard and Wally Phillips. And you can find some of those on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Roy Leonard did a turkey awards on Thanksgiving. I may bring that
for
back.
A long time, yeah.
I want to do the turkey awards.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we look all forward to hearing you in
I'll
the new time next
you.
Week. Patty will be on right away on Monday night. Do you get a 7 or is there a White Sox
There's
game?
There's a White Sox game. I'll see you next Friday because we're on after the White Sox game. So we'll
Excellent.
Be on to 1 a.m.
Perfect. I'll see you in the new digs next week.
I'm going to eat some more pizza.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you.
You can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado. For details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. If you're not a smart speaker user, then just get out your transistor like Roger would, get under the covers and turn it on. But if you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Penny Mustard Furnishings. Here's your Roger Badish. It is the last night of our life here in the Tribune Tower. 312-981-7200 is the text line tonight. Our old phone number, 312-591-7200, is the phone number for tonight. Linda has been holding on forever. We had talked earlier in the show, Roger, about listening to Chicken Man, mm-hmm. and me about listening to Dr. Wolf Westheimer, mm-hmm. and Sexually Speaking, when I was a kid. Linda is on the phone with us. Hey, Linda, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine. You could tell, Roger, I'm on the far southeast side, about 2 miles from the Indiana border, mm-hmm. and the rain and everything has passed through.
You well, it already has.
You hear thunder in a long, mm-hmm. far out distance.
But it hit you pretty hard for a little while, didn't it?
Down on this end of the city.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you get a lot of rain, though, for a little while, Linda?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It really came down and the winds were really blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything has died down here on Michigan Avenue, too, although I still see some flashes of lightning, but the rain is just a drizzle and the wind has slowed back down. So,
Everything's mostly over Indiana right mm-hmm. now, because okay. I'm right at the tip of the lake.
Oh,
so,
all right.
So if you're in Michigan, it's headed your way.
It's already in Michigan.
Yeah. It's heading their way. Yeah, I called because you were talking about the old, listening on a transistor and that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I remember... From when I was little, my mom used to listen to WGN all the time. Don McNeil and the Breakfast mm-hmm. Club.
That's right.
And then...
with their march around the
noon,
coffee table.
Captain Stubby and the Buccaneers. It mm-hmm. was like country western music they played.
Mm-hmm.
And they would play a song, and you had to write a postcard in with the answer. And if they pulled your postcard with the earliest... postmark on it, and mm-hmm. it was the right name, you won. And my mom won a coffee pot.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is back in the late 40s, early 50s.
Mm-hmm. And it was a percolator coffee pot, right?
Out, and I remember Saturday nights sitting and listening to the Lone Ranger, mm-hmm. Gangbusters, Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, and all those different radio programs. And when I was in high school, I'd listen to Wally Phillips in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and Jerry Taft gave the weather report.
That's right, in the mornings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they used to, when we would go, it was 55 was the station number, and then they changed over to the 720.
Oh, 55.
So a lot of years, I remember. And Ed Schwartz. He
right.
was 2 years behind me in high school.
Hmm. Oh, at the same high school?
And, I mean, it's listening now and how things have changed. And some of you reminiscing about when you were younger and what you listened to, we forget.
Yeah.
And our young ones are missing out on a lot.
Yeah.
Because it was enjoyment.
Yeah. Well, Linda, the times change. We got to adapt to them, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. But, I just thought I'd call it and let you guys know that there's some of your listeners that go already a good 65, 70 years. We were weaned on WGN.
Yeah, I hear you. It was the same way with me growing up with my parents in the car. You'd always have WGN on the radio, Cubs broadcasts and Bob Collins. You know, for me, it was already Bob Collins and things like that. And, you know, then times keep changing, but we keep rolling on. We're still here. Linda, thank you so much for the call, for hanging out late with us early into the morning. 312-981-7200 is a text line, 591-7200 if you want to call in. Texter says, so we were talking about, things that we're taking and memories that are coming with us as we move on. Somebody texts from the 574. When the announcement was made that the Batman TV show was canceled, Frank Gorshin grabbed the costumes. Well, that would be cool to have, the costumes for
the Riddler
TV
costume.
Show.
That was
did
his.
He only steal that one, or did he
well,
steal others?
I don't
others?
Know. You know I don't know.
He was just horking them all.
I mean, be nice.
Be cool for him.
Yeah.
All right, so I did this with you guys last year, or maybe twice a year. I have a friend who I went to grade school with,
mm-hmm.
who is a professor in college. He teaches some sort of terrorism class. I don't think it's how to be a terrorist. I think it's like some sort of sociological review of terrorism or identifying terrorism, things like that, causes of terrorism. I don't think it's how to become a terrorist.
to identify a terrorist, maybe.
Something like that.
Okay.
History of terrorism, things like that.
All right.
Causes of terrorism. So he teaches a class, and he's somewhere on the West Coast now, I think in the Pacific Northwest. And he's been at like Notre Dame and Penn State. He's been at some serious high-level institutions.
Okay.
And he does not suffer fools gladly. So at the end of each semester, he'll put out his list of the favorite emails he's getting from his students at the end of the semester.
Oh, no.
Number one, I was wondering if there was something I could do to make up for a discussion that I missed. I also was wondering if you were going to offer any extra credit for the class. I'm looking for all opportunities to make sure I don't have to take your class for a third time.
Third time's the charm.
But I enjoy seeing you every year.
Come back again.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Believe it or not, you don't have to be a college professor to get that email. Oh, my gosh.
I was in high school.
I did 20 years.
But in high school, you're more like, oh, they're kids. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
No. I wasn't like that. Oh, I had strict rules.
No, I understand. But I'm saying that I'm not that surprised a high school student is not doing this, is not doing that, is begging for. You get to college, you're 19, 20, 21.
You should know better.
Get the stupid. And don't, you know, these are written like they are in high school.
Yeah.
Hi, professor. I just took the final exam and was a bit concerned with my grade. I felt that there were some questions that were a little confusing and completely unfair at times, but felt confident in a majority of my answers. I was wondering if there's anything else that I can do to get that A or A minus in the class. If I calculated my grade correctly, I will be getting an 88% if I were to get 100% on the remaining discussions. I apologize in advance for any inconvenience. Thank you for your time and consideration.
You know what the inconvenience was?
I don't think you tell the professor that the questions were unfair.
Right, no.
I don't think that's the way to get into his heart.
No, no. But you know what's unfair?
What?
That email.
Yeah, to him.
Well, it's a waste of his time.
It is a waste of his time.
Yeah, right.
Number three, hello, professor. I'm writing to request an opportunity to earn back some points that I missed in the discussions category with an additional assignment. I'd be happy to accept any kind of assignment, essay, exam, etc. that you see fit. I have watched every video assigned, though I was often only able to get to doing so later than I would have liked to, and after the discussion window had passed. I am typically on the ball with due dates and actually really enjoy the online discussion format. However, this term stretched me thin after I got a new job 2 weeks into the term and had to fly to headquarters in Santa Barbara, California for 3 weeks and have been balancing, or trying to anyway, 50-hour work weeks and an 18-credit course load most of the term. I didn't communicate sooner because, frankly, I was sure I would be able to pull it off, but clearly that's not the case. I believe I enrolled to take this class pass no pass, and even if I get a 55 out of 55 on the final, I'll only make it to 122 out of 200, which is not an F, but doesn't get me the C minus necessary to pass the class on a pass no pass. I truly have watched all the documentaries and read the text each week and just wasn't able to post in the discussion forums until after they closed, so I would appreciate the opportunity to prove it and earn some points back as well. Let me know your thoughts and what my options are here. I'll do nearly anything to avoid having to retake the course to replace an F grade, as it would prevent my graduation this fall, since I have a full course load already for summer and fall terms in order to graduate after fall term. I appreciate your time. Thank you. Maybe not take the full-time job and the full-time class.
18 hours, that's a...
Yeah.
That's,
I watched everything. I just couldn't get to that discussion forum in time.
Yeah, right. Not.
Number four. Hi, I'm extremely worried because I think I failed your final exam. I was wondering if there was any extra credit or what I can do to get a passing grade because I need this course to graduate, and it was an elective.
What?
I don't know.
If it's an elective, you don't need it to graduate.
Well, I must need the credit.
Just the plain credits. You need the credits to grab. Okay, yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Number five. Now, instead of saying, hey, professor, he writes the person's first name.
All right.
Hey, blank. This is blank from your Tuesday, Thursday terrorism course. And I was just wondering if you could email me my overall grade if you have it. I just realized that after week two of discussions that I forgot that I had to have a word count and two replies for the discussions. Ugh. It may be due to the fact that my three other classes, I do not have those requirements. We do have class tomorrow, correct? Have a great day, professor.
Wow. There's a guy you want working for you. Right on the ball,
baby. Oh, and by
baby.
The way, do we have class tomorrow?
Yeah, by the way.
Just checking with you.
Notice he says after week two. So he completely lost interest in this class after 2 weeks.
Forgot about that whole word count thing.
Yeah.
Number six, professor, I am struggling. I have missed the discussions and did poorly on my midterm. Is there anything I can do to make up those discussions? Spoken word poetry, a song and a dance, maybe papers for each discussion? I am finding it hard to stay on top of everything, taking a full schedule. I am open to whatever you suggest. Thanks, a burned out undergrad.
Yeah, life's hard, buddy. Let's see that song and dance.
Number 7. Professor, I need to pass your class. I'm graduating and didn't realize that discussion wasn't optional. Let me make up that discussion question and I will be able to graduate. Most classes don't have them as required, and I don't know why this one they were required. This is important to me because I am graduating. Thank you, and I will be awaiting your response.
And you know why he didn't think they were required? Because he didn't read the syllabus.
No, he didn't. He often, for some reason this year, he didn't include the responses because he often gives them a not-so-kind response.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that you have the time to do this, but you didn't have time to read the syllabus, right, which clearly laid out every single thing you need to do.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm so happy to provide what might have been his responses.
Gino, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Okay.
What you calling about?
Well, I just woke up a little while ago, and you mentioned about the Chicken Man.
Right.
And I have a picture of him.
You have a picture of Chicken Man?
Right. And it's on State and Lake, northwest corners, there with the chicken. And across the northeast corner was a fancy restaurant. I forgot the name.
Okay.
But I got the picture. I drove for the Bureau of Electric.
No, I'm sorry. So I didn't ever hear Chicken Man on the radio. So is this a man in a chicken costume?
Yes.
Or is it just the guy?
No, this is the guy with the chicken. He used to get around, ride the streetcars. He would be at the old Maxwell Street Market and everything.
Oh, you're talking about a guy with a chicken.
The street.
Oh.
He would ride.
Oh, okay. That's different.
So wait, you're not talking about the radio bit, the Chicken Man. You're talking about an actual guy you used to see with a chicken.
That's him, yeah. Mm-hmm. The original.
The original Chicken Man.
Yeah,
not the phony on the radio. This is the original man walking around with a chicken.
Yeah, right. And used to put on a show, have it squeeze box, it would be playing music, the chicken would dance.
Wow. How long ago was this? When did this happen? How many years ago?
What year was this, Gino, that you have the picture from?
Oh, during the war years.
After the
war years. I was growing up then, driving truck in for the city.
That's cool.
And I got the thing. Well, north of North Avenue, there was a photographer there and threw out a bunch of stuff. I was going through it, and my worker was going through it, and I spotted that. I grabbed that. I ran to the truck and locked it in the cabinets. Nobody could get it. So one guy at work said, "Oh, let my dad see it." Oh, no. Uh-uh. You know, it's worth something today. The value, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how popular was that Chicken Man?
That was when the streetcars were on.
Yeah.
Years ago. The old-fashioned one.
Uh-huh. The cable cars. Didn't they have the cable, the overhead cable? I don't think he can hear me.
That's it, Gino. Thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. Have a great morning. So, Roger, he's not talking about your Chicken Man.
No, not at all. I don't think he can hear me.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the new studio.
Bummer.
Maybe it might be.
Maybe he just hears you. That's why you got the new number. Maybe. Or the new old number.
Yeah. Texter from 815 says, I took an anthropology class this year. The first test was completely on the syllabus, so nobody could say they didn't know.
There you go.
That's pretty smart.
You know what I had my kids do?
No.
I handed out the syllabus at the beginning of the class, mm-hmm. first day class, mm-hmm. and the back page was an agreement
that they had to sign it,
but their parents had to sign it. And I kept a file. And if they ever complain, oh, I don't know.
You would pull out the syllabus and go, "You signed this piece of paper, and so did your mom and dad."
And then I would say, now, that doesn't really look like an adult signature. Should I call your parents
and make sure that they actually read the syllabus and signed off that they had. And they go, oh, no, 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 no. And, oh, man.
They read it. I swear.
They would be in trouble. Seriously. I had every angle covered.
Signed, Epstein's mother. 312-591-7200 for call-ins, 981-7200 for text. Let's take a quick break. Let's talk about high speed downtown to O'Hare next on 720 WGN. It's 4:30 in the morning. Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla, has another company called The Boring Company. And that's a funny name because they dig holes. They dig tunnels. And Mayor Emanuel has tapped them to create a tunnel and a high-speed train from downtown Chicago to O'Hare. Currently, take the blue line, takes you about 40 minutes. This would be 12 minutes. Talk about that after we check your news headlines. Here's Roger Badish.
Like P. Diddy, hey, whatever, girl. Grab my glasses, I'm out the door. I'm gonna hit this city. Let's before go. I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. Cause when I leave for the night, I ain't coming back. I'm talking
pedicure on Matt Bobala with you, 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being out and about as my final broadcast from the historic Tribune Tower building. Commences with at 4:35 in the morning, a shirtless guy with his belly sticking out comes walking by having a cigarette.
There you go. That's the way to live in the early morning in Chicago. Yeah.
Oh, God. No, talk on the radio. Go, Jess. What just happened? What did I miss?
There was someone that ran by a couple minutes ago.
Jogging?
Yeah.
In the rain? Well, the rain's pretty much stopped.
Is that seriously the end of that story? I just put you on the air for that? Did something happen? Somebody just ran by?
And then I found $5.
Oh.
Seriously?
No. You just wanted me to make it better. Oh, my God. I can tell you stories about Texas, but...
Oh, let's talk about that real quick. So Jess was not here last week.
Yeah.
We had a fill-in, and Jess was in Texas.
I was.
And I saw the Facebook post.
Yeah, you had texted me during the day saying that you guys had a big holdup. The airport got closed down.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? You were flying down for a wedding, right?
That is correct.
Okay, and what happened?
We flew into the airport. Well, first of all, I missed my flight out of O'Hare.
Oh, geez, how did you do that?
I went to go submit the payment after you pick your seats and check baggage. You pay for your baggage.
Right.
And then I went to go submit the payment, and my payment didn't get accepted quick enough. There, like, it was an issue with the chip. So I missed my check-in time by 1 minute. And I stayed at the airport pretty much all day till 7 o'clock. I flew out of O'Hare, then got into Houston at, like, midnight.
Okay.
And then I sat on the plane for a very long time.
Explain why.
There was a issue at the airport. I guess a student, I would actually have to look up the actual news article, but there was a student that had like a toy grenade or a toy. Yeah, I think it was a toy grenade. I would have to double check.
In the airport. So they closed the airport down.
Yes.
This is after you land at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So you land at the Houston airport, but they don't let you off the plane because the airport is closed.
Correct. TSA security had closed it. They did
so
not want.
So you sit and wait on the plane for how long?
About an hour and a half.
You sit on the plane for an hour and a half, and then the pilot comes on and says, we're going to take off again.
Yeah, we went to the other airport in Houston, which is like a half hour from each other, maybe an hour.
Which must be like a 4 minute plane ride, right?
Yeah.
So you take back off, you go to the other airport in Houston and land. You had a rental car, but because you're at the wrong airport, they don't have your rental car, right?
Right.
So eventually you're able to get a rental car.
Correct.
You end up in a hotel room around 2 in the morning.
Correct.
That is full of roaches.
Yes, it was infested.
This is a hell of a trip you were on.
It was infested. And it was interesting because it was a decent hotel.
Except for the small roach population.
I guess that's a thing. You know, yeah,
it was a roach hotel.
When the weather gets a little warmer, I went back downstairs. The nice man at the front desk refunded my money. So I think they might have been already aware that there was an issue.
Yeah, I bet.
And then I found another hotel. And then that was the rest of the weekend. Phew. Although part of my story later on, I did go see NASA. And cool. Part of that will tie into one of our guests for next week.
What are we talking about next week?
We're going to talk about the new the spacecraft that's on Mars. So there could be like a huge dust storm. So we're going to talk to
I saw that story. Wasn't there a picture of like there's a huge dust storm on Mars? Is that and that could destroy the rover?
Yeah.
Well, they shut the rover down to protect it. Yeah.
But they don't know if it'll start back up then.
Exactly.
Right?
And they want it to because there's apparently an area on Mars that they need it to go to double check if their evaluations are correct, that there is possibility for life on Mars, that there's existence of a previous type of life on Mars.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool to find out. Hey, by the way, that so you're saying that's next week on the show. That reminds me, in all the hullabaloo about the sadness over leaving the Tribune Tower, my sadness over it because of this historic building, we have not talked about the fact, and Patty alluded to this, but Patty is switching times. Patty's going to be on earlier. Justin Kaufman joined the morning show.
Right.
So Justin Kaufman is now doing the download. It's a daily or weekly podcast. I'm not sure. But he's part of the morning show now. Mm-hmm. Andrea Darlis is moving away from Steve Cochran's show. She's going to come anchor news for Patty.
And co-host Patty, with her. Right.
And Patty is going to be on from 7 to 11 p.m. on weeknights when there is no White Sox, Northwestern Wildcats basketball, or Blackhawks games. Mm-hmm. So about 60% of the year, Patty will be on 7 to 11 p.m. on nights when there is a White Sox, Blackhawks, or Northwestern basketball game. Patty will be on afterwards until 1 a.m.
Right.
But that means that Nick DiGilio now starts his show 1 a.m. He's now 1 to 5 a.m. weeknights. Mm-hmm. And when we do this show, starting next week, we're going to start at 1 a.m.
Right.
So we got an extra hour.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So that's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
Gives us more of an opportunity to get different types of guests, which is exciting.
Yeah, people that don't come on at 2 might be willing to come on at 1.
Yeah.
And the West Coast will be a little easier now, so it'll be fun. It'll give us more opportunity to have some fun and talk.
And we'll have some reoccurring guests as well, like our friend Chris.
Our Amelia Earhart guest.
Chris.
Our other guy. Who is our other Chris? I don't know our other Chris.
Chris Gephardt from NASA Spaceflight.com.
Oh, and that's who's on next week. Chris Gephardt from NASA Spaceflight.com. We got to check in with our Amelia Earhart guy. We got to check in with the original D.B. Cooper guys. Michael Heidemann was just bringing that up with us tonight because we talked D.B. Cooper a couple weeks ago because now somebody in Michigan says it's a guy in Michigan that died, but our friends in San Diego say, no, it's a dude still living in San Diego. Got to crack that case.
It'll be interesting. Michael Heidemann is a fan of our show, so thanks, Michael.
Yes, thank you, Michael, for for enjoying the D.B. Cooper segments. So Elon Musk has been given the okay by the city to dig a 12-mile tunnel. Let's read from this. Mayor Emanuel announced the election of Elon Musk's Boring Company to build and operate a multi-billion dollar rapid transit link between O'Hare and downtown. Company plans to transport passengers between O'Hare and Block 37 in the Loop. Approximately 12 minutes versus 40 minutes via the Blue Line by utilizing electric vehicles that run through new twin underground tunnels. The project will be funded entirely by the company with no taxpayer subsidy. Musk would front the construction costs and then pocket all the revenue from the system's transit fees and any money generated by advertisements, including in-car shopping sales. In other words, Musk intends to fund a massive infrastructure project in part with money from people buying stuff like headphones during the 12-minute trip. Sources tell the Trib that the entire project should cost less than $1 billion. Musk intends to fudge the project partly by selling stuff inside the vehicles. If you look at the history of Chicago, every time we've been an innovator in transportation, we've seized the future, Emanuel said. I think figuring it out when time is money, how to shrink the distance between the economic and job engines of O'Hare and downtown positions Chicago as the global leader and global city in the United States. It's a major boost to Musk's tunneling company and the strongest validation from a city government to date. The Boring Company, which launched just 18 months ago, is still negotiating rights to dig a 6.5-mile test tunnel under L.A. and has received a preliminary permit to start digging in Washington, D.C. The company has already broken ground on a 2-mile test tunnel under the parking lot of SpaceX, another of Musk's ventures. So what do you think of that, Raj? Raj is on the phone right now, but 12 minutes from O'Hare to downtown is awesome and incredible. What's interesting to me is that we're just kind of letting him do it and him. I wonder what the rights are long term. Will Musk company own this tunnel forever? or will it be the city's tunnel, but he gets to run it forever? I understand we're not fronting any money, but in the long run, is that short-sighted? I think the idea of getting from Chicago to downtown or O'Hare to downtown in 12 minutes is very valuable for not just tourism necessarily, but for certainly for conferences. Chicago needs a better conference center. I go to conferences around the country from time to time, and I think ours is really lacking. What do you think, Roger? 12 minutes to O'Hare. That sounds great, but that's from Block 37, which means you got to be in this downtown area.
Right.
Or get down here to get on there.
Well, not every, and it's nonstop?
I'm pretty sure it's got to be.
Okay.
It's 12 minutes. So.
So if I'm at different hotels
gotta go
between here and there, and I need to get out there, I'm going to either Uber or Lyft it, or I'll take the Blue Line, which I think is being underutilized for that purpose. I don't think there's a lot of people who come and go out of the city and stay downtown that utilize that. I don't see it being, I don't see it being a big business person transportation hub. I think most people downtown will cab it, Uber it, or Lyft it downtown, or take a.
So you're saying that you don't think people would really use this?
I don't think so.
Why?
I think the only people who might use it would be Chicagoans, and I don't know if they would use it enough to make it profitable.
Well, I mean,
especially with no stations along the way. I think that the outrage
is just being used for to get to O'Hare.
Yeah, and you've got that already with the Blue Line.
But it takes 40 minutes.
Yeah, so
line.
What?
This is 12 minutes.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo.
Time is money.
No, it's not.
An
hour.
It is. A half an hour both ways, so that's an hour of your life.
And people...
And if you do it regularly,
people
or your business
book
person
that.
Come into town...
People deal with that already.
They now, do, but it's annoying.
If you take the money, have Musk give the money to the CTA and fix up the Blue Line.
Why would he want to do that?
Because he's a nice guy and he's generous.
No, he's got a company. He's going to make money back on this.
Well, I don't think he's going to make money back on it.
I think he would eventually.
No. Well, eventually what? 100 years from now when he's dead?
Maybe. I think quicker than
no,
that.
No. I just do not see it as being an alternative. And that, let's say it does what he says it's going to do. What happens to the Blue Line? Is that just going to be used for the common folk to come and
go?
Well,
there's stops along the way on the Blue Line.
Well, I know.
Just about O'Hare.
I know. And so a lot of people can get on at different stops and take it to O'Hare. They don't have to be downtown.
Right. This is about, this is just about downtown.
I
and it's probably just as much for business people coming in and out of O'Hare. So if I fly into O'Hare and I've got business downtown, do I want to sit in an Uber an hour and a half downtown? Do I want to drag my stuff over to the Blue Line and then head downtown? If I can jump onto this thing and head downtown, that's a great thing and be there in 12 minutes. There's people that fly in and out of Chicago for business all day long.
I just don't see it being used
enough.
And
if eventually we get a better, they need to get rid of McCormick Place and build, they need trade show space here within the city proper in the downtown area.
There is trade show space in each hotel. They are all built with trade show facilities.
But not where
facilities.
They could have a huge... So I go to Vegas
every
year
for a huge... of a show?
I go to Vegas every year for a huge conference, attended by about 7,000 veterinarians and 8,000 other people, so about 15,000 people. It's in the Mandalay Bay Hotel.
Right.
They have a huge conference center attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
For a huge conference here, you got to go down to McCormick Place. It's inconvenient. No hotels by it. You got a cab back and forth for
but
a hotel.
But they have buses.
Bus back and
they
forth
have buses from all the hotels going to McCormick Place.
Sure.
Just like they do in Vegas. It depends on which hotel you're at. You stand outside. You wait for the bus that goes to that convention.
And
I used to go all the time to the NAB. So
it's a pain in the ass.
Well, of course it's a pain in the
Vegas,
butt. But every
it's
city
Mandalay
is like
Bay,
that.
We just no, it's not. No, it is not.
All right,
not every city is like that.
What city
when I'm in
has...
Vegas, when I'm in Vegas, it's right in the hotel. When I'm in San Diego, you can walk from six different hotels right there, and there's an awesome bar and restaurant district right there. I didn't have to take a cab once. When I am in Nashville, great stuff right there, hotels right there. We're mm-hmm. walking to everything. When we're in Orlando now at the convention center, hotels right within walking distance. We're losing out to warm, and we're not a warm weather destination.
No.
So we've got great stuff here for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're making people take buses back and forth and do all these things, a lot of other cities got a lot better to offer than us.
We're talking mid-sized conventions. We're not talking NAB, because I'm talking about the NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, which uses their convention center. It does not use facilities in the hotels. It's too big. It takes up the entire convention center. And that's what McCormick Place competes against, those types of huge facilities for large conventions.
How many people attend NAB?
That's over 10,000.
I'm going to things this large, Raj. I'm telling you.
Well,
I'm telling you, San Diego has the space. Orlando has the space. They've got better offerings. We need to get something. Either they got to build a mess of hotels down there by McCormick Place and make that mm-hmm. more convenient, or they need to build space here within the city where all the hotels are.
Well, they're constricted by
building. And that's the rest of the story. All right, quick break. We're going to say hi to O real quick on 720 WGN. We'll check in with Orion in a few minutes, see what's coming up on the morning show. Roger, I got to tell you about a dream I had this morning.
Uh-oh.
I had a weird dream this morning. I was in the old Studio A when we had the studios back here where Howells and Hood is now.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have a big combo Studio A, and I think it was A and A minus we called it, I think.
Well, A1 and A2, whatever. Sure. Yeah, I know. The desks were side to side.
Yeah, the whole studio was side to side. On one side was a talent position where Bob Collins and Spike would do their show, where they didn't have a board in front of them because they didn't run their own board back then.
Mm-hmm.
That was back with the engineer behind the glass.
Right, and that was the side that was facing south, and that's the one Milt used.
Yes.
Right.
So Milt, Bob Collins, Spike would all be there mm-hmm. with an engineer running the board on mm-hmm. the other side of the glass with the producer.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the other part of that room connected was another position that did have a board in front of it. This is where Steve and Johnny did their show from.
Right. And Nick did his show from on the weekends.
Yeah. And they would have a producer in the booth. And that's where I produced John for a long time.
Okay.
Before they redid the showcase studio up here and we moved up here.
Mm-hmm.
So... I had this dream that I'm in Studio A and I'm doing a show and a bunch of people walk in. And I think John Williams is there talking to me at the time. And I'm doing a show. And it's like our show we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But all these people walk in and one of them's Ronald Reagan.
What?
But it's just like a group of people that are hanging out and being loud and distracting me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like trying to talk to John, but all these people are in there. And so I'm getting distracted. And so I'm losing my train of thought. So now I'm trying to throw it to a break. But I look down at the board and the board is changed. There's no buttons.
Uh-oh.
So I have to reach over to this touch screen and I'm able to hit a spot because we have this touch screen thing here that we can hit mm-hmm. bumps from.
Right.
And so I hit a spot and then I look down at the board because I'm trying to find where the buttons are for spots and the mics. There's no buttons. Now there's just lights.
Uh-oh.
And it's like a relief map, stay with me, of Africa.
What?
And there's like little lights in different places on the board. And I'm looking like trying to figure, wait, where are the buttons that I push?
Oh, God.
I don't know what the hell that means, but it was weird.
What, do you got plans going to Africa?
I know. You know what? Africa's like so far down on my list of any place I would even go.
Yeah.
I'm just not interested in a safari or anything. So I don't know what in the world that was.
That was so weird.
It was weird.
The group of people, though, and then Reagan's amongst the group.
And Reagan is like the old Reagan from being president,
mm-hmm.
but he's got like on a relaxed sweater and collar shirt. Like he's kind of just dressed down hanging out with people.
Yeah.
That was a weird one. All right, quick break. We'll say hi to O next. 720 WGN.